I want to share a little bit here. We are continuing our By Faith series. I was not here last week. Brielle and I and Lily were in Orlando. We were part of a planning committee for our International Campus Ministry Conference that's going to be in LA this July. So there's going to be about 2,000 college students from all across North America converging to worship God, to be transformed by His Word. And what's so cool is that every year for the last 5 years, the number of students coming to these conferences has grown. You know, at this retreat that we were at, it was so encouraging to hear that over the last 3 or 4 years, the campus ministries across North America are growing. You know, I think, I don't remember the exact numbers, but 4 years ago, we grew by, I think, I'm not even gonna give you the right numbers, but I'm just gonna encourage you that, hey, across the kingdom of God, many students are falling in love with Jesus. And year over year, more students than the previous year are making Jesus their Lord. So it's just some good news coming out of the campus ministry across North America and beyond. But what I wanted to share today is hopefully some encouragement for your faith. Your faith is your one of the greatest resources, one of the most incredible things that you have. From your faith, and I'm not going to change my slide yet because I don't want to reveal the title, but your faith is what protects your heart. It's from that stems hope and optimism and joy. It's what enables us to look at situations that can be difficult with the lens of, hey, God is shaping me to be a better version of myself as a result of this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? And so faith is such a crucial part of our development and of our growth. And as we talk about faith, and today we're talking about God, and I want to help our minds learn how to see the invisible reality of God all around us. In the book of Hebrews, we don't know the author, and we don't particularly know the exact audience. All we know is that the author was intimately familiar with the audience. It was primarily a Jewish audience, and it was during a time where there was severe persecution. Disciples were being imprisoned, and due to the difficulties, disciples were walking away from the faith. And so the author writes this message to the churches to encourage them to remain faithful, to think about the big picture, to not lose the forest by focusing simply on the trees, that there's something so much bigger. And that's true of our lives, is that there are the very tangible, logical things and facts that you can hold on to, but then there is a wild, invisible reality all around us. And Satan, our enemy, wants to, as it says in Ephesians 6, shoot flaming arrows at us to not only pierce us and discourage us and keep us focused on the wrong things, but to pierce us and then for it to burn. And God says, the shield, your faith is a shield against Satan's piercing arrows. And so I love, as a church who's certainly gone through challenges, good times and bad times, we're reminded that we need our shield of faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10, in context for what we're going to read this morning, in Hebrews 10, as the author describes what the church is like, he says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so today we are going to talk through the lens of by faith God. You know, that's where our faith starts. That's where our faith ends. There are tons of others in the Hall of Faith that we'll look at over the next few months, but I love that we get to start with God. I got to say this before I really jump into it here. I am wearing a Giants jersey. I know you might have feelings about that. The truth is that it's a Saquon Barkley Giants jersey. It was definitely on sale because he's now on the Eagles, but I am representing the Eagles through Saquon Barkley by way of the Giants. He walked with us so he could fly with the Eagles. Okay, with that being said, seeing the invisible realities. In Hebrews chapter 3, sorry, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, he says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Move out of the way here. In the NET, it says so that the visible has its origin in the invisible. The Message commentary says, what we see created by what we don't see. We as Christians believe that despite all the tangible things that we can taste, touch, feel, smell, and hear, there is an invisible world that is extremely real all around us. It's where God is. It's where God operates. It's inexplicable, yet it's unavoidable. And there's a reason the Hebrew authors start here, because faith is believing that there is a real invisible realm where God is constantly working around us. We don't just believe that everything is some kind of happy accident. We don't believe that the universe was just created randomly. And here's the best part. We don't believe that God created the world and then stepped back, spun it, and said, good luck. We believe that what we see is richly affected by what we cannot see. That God is real, that He is involved, and that He is obsessed with you. What we see as the visible is deeply affected by what we can't see in the invisible. There are so many invisible things. As we're trying to be followers of Jesus and figure out God, there are so many things that we simply don't see, yet we believe in. We believe in a Holy Spirit. We believe in God's presence with us. We believe in angels and demons and eternal beings. We believe in invisible realities, that in marriage, two separate entities come together. They are pronounced married, and now they're no longer two separate entities. They are one. I love seeing Jordan post in the chat that he's with his wife, Jessica, right? The two have become one. We believe that in baptism, not only are you being dunked under the water, but instead you are participating in the death, the burial, and the miraculous resurrection of God resurrecting your soul into a new creation. We believe in the divinity of Scripture, that these words weren't simply written by a few old men over the course of 1,000+ years, but instead that God is the author inspiring these people. We believe in the power of prayer, that our words somehow, some way influence a divine being. We believe in the eternal life that we have not seen. We will not see. No one's coming back quite yet to tell us about it. And so we believe in that. We believe in love and the work of the heart. And though it's not visible, though there's nothing tangible about love and the work of the heart, it's so real and it's so powerful. We believe in God's kingdom, in the reign and domain, the reign and domain of God's kingdom here in the universe. It's amazing that as we navigate our life with God, we try our best to focus on things that we can't see. And it's the things that we don't see that make sense of the things that we can see. You may be a fan of this, and so hopefully I don't offend you with what I'm about to say, but I'll just be honest, the History Channel and Discovery Channel have like totally gone off the rails. Okay. I mean, I remember growing up and seeing the History Channel talking about wars and, how the world was formed and dinosaurs and all that stuff. But now it's a bunch of like alien shows and The Deadliest Catch, right? Same thing with the Discovery Channel. But one of the things that if you just turn on your TV to one of these channels, you're bound to see are these Ghost Hunters International, right? These unsolved mysteries of the paranormal activity. And you've got these people who utilize, I'm just going to say it in a hokey way, they utilize these technologies and different tools in order to touch base with the beyond. And whether you believe in ghosts and houses being haunted, they're definitely trying to figure out if some of these houses are. And so they're using tools to get access to what is not visible by the naked eye. And hey, if that's your job, if I didn't, maybe someone in the Northwest is a ghost hunter, good for you. I would love to talk to you. Please, let's go grab coffee. I'm sure you have got some good stories. But in some way, as we're following Jesus, we are trying to use certain tools to better gain access and get better clarity to things that we cannot see. And when we are more aware and we have a better understanding of what is beyond, it helps us with where we are here. And it's by faith. It's not the visible, but hopefully, like Ghostbusters or whatever these shows are called, we can utilize some of the tools that God has given us so that we can have a clearer faith or a more sure faith in the things that we cannot see. Tools to see God's invisible reality. I named each point basically the same thing, so that if you don't remember any of my points, hopefully you'll remember what it sounds like. Okay. Point number one is presence. Point number two is presence. And point number three is present. Okay. The hope of what I'm going to share here briefly is that in our day-to-day life, by utilizing some of the tools that God has given us, we can have a stronger and deeper belief that, hey, there is an invisible reality of God and his power working all around us. And by having a clearer understanding and appreciation of that, it affects how we live in our day to day. Presence. Now, I'm talking here about God's presence. Though we can't see him, I'm sure sometimes it feels like, hey, where is God? God goes above and beyond to remind us regularly that he is present with us. The first tool to understanding the invisible world is by first simply acknowledging and fighting to accept that God is always present with you, no matter what. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm not done. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate and help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I had to stop eventually because there are so many more verses where God repeatedly with the Israelites, with the disciples, with us, wants us to know that he is with us everywhere we go. He is here. One of my favorite books of all time, a very easy, very small book to read, is a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. Letters taken from correspondence with an old French monk named Brother Lawrence. And he was a French Catholic monk living in and serving in a monastery in Paris where he collected and formed the spiritual classic. But while serving in the monastery, he made it his goal to exist in acute awareness of God's presence with him. While he was washing the dishes, while he was skinning potatoes, while he was walking the grounds, as he woke, as he slept, and every moment in between. He famously said that the time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and the clatter of my kitchen, I possess God in as great a tranquility as if I were on my knees. There's beauty to that. It's an extreme example of practicing God's presence and being aware of God's presence, but I want to be more like that. I want to be aware that God is with me, God is with you, wherever you go. To be attuned to the reality of God's presence in our lives, it requires a discipline of mind to know that he's with you in the grocery store, at the bank, on the job, in your car, in the bathroom, and everywhere in between. An awareness of God's perfect presence, filled with love and grace, with power and confidence. It changes the way that you live when you know that God is with you. There's a confidence that exudes from you when you've got the champion of champions, the king of kings, right next to you and you're aware of it. It changes the way you view your problems. But when God feels distant and we're seeming and feels like he's seemingly unaware of our issues, we get funky. But God doesn't change. He doesn't disappear. I'm going to speak about something here that I know very little about. I grew up in an age where I think these were just coming out of style when I was coming in or coming out of the womb. But radio antennas, you guys know about that? I'm just kidding. I know what these are. But radio antennas, right? You got this, I find it mystical that somehow, some way, waves in the air can capture not only audio, but also video. And you can watch TV because of some metal rod sticking up in the ground, sticking about your device. What's interesting is that as mystical as that is, it is incredibly finicky. You know, I can remember my grandma going down to the TV and trying to adjust it to the northeast to get the video for the football game or whatever. Like, it's incredibly finicky. And in some ways, that's sort of how we can be when it comes to the presence of God. God is always with us. He never changes. He doesn't move, but we do. And as we change and as we move, we have to constantly fix our antennas to see where is God with me right now? Where is his presence with me right now? What can you do this week to better tune into God's ever-present frequency? What can you do this week to be more aware of God's presence in every moment of your life? Presence. We like this one. Christmas is over, but we're still here. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, after the rich young ruler walks away sad because he's unwilling to sacrifice everything for God, Peter spoke up and boldly, as Peter says, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes and brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields, along with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life." To tangibly see the power of God, the invisible strength that he has ready to manifest in your life, to see on the other side 100 times greater than what you currently have and are, to see that come, to see that invisible reality become visible, it is always on the other side of giving. Giving relationally, giving your time, giving your energy, giving your money, getting out of your comfort zone, deciding to deny yourself. Jesus's principle is true. In the NLT in Luke 9, it says this: if you try to hang on to your life, you cling to your life, to your desires for your possessions, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Here's this invisible promise, a promise that we cannot see come to fruition until we decide to give. And I use the word presence, one, because it rhymes, but two, because it is a gift that we're giving to others, to those around us. It's a decision to love. You know, I think about Peter as he walked on the water. It was in the experience of him denying what was comfortable that he experienced the most exhilarating, what would have been invisible power of God working through his feet. It was out of the water. God is often experienced most clearly when we are giving of ourselves, when we are extending ourselves. You know, we experience the invisible, the inexplicable, the divine when we choose to give, when we meet God at the corner of generosity and self-denial. What presents can you give? What gifts can you give to others this week? How can you practice hospitality? Who can you serve? When we decide to extend ourselves and sacrifice and love and pour out of our comfort zones, God meets us there in ways that were beyond our imaginations. Tools to better see the invisible God. Lastly, my favorite one, present. You being present where you are. I love verse 15. It says, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, Because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. I see the connection here. Make the most of every opportunity. Live your life in a wise way. But then the connection to don't get drunk on wine, right? Because when you're drunk on wine, you're foggy. Things are a bit unclear. You have a hard time just living right here and living in the moment. Your mind is distant and your body is not connected to your mind in a clear way as if you were sober. Now, if someone here is getting drunk on wine, understand that you're missing out on making the most of every opportunity. So I would encourage you to get the help that you need and stop doing that. But I think the reality is that for many of us, it's not wine that we're getting drunk on, but maybe it's social media, maybe it's TV, maybe it's the hustle and bustle of life, where instead of being present where we are right here, right now, because that's where God operates, He doesn't operate right now in our future. I mean, He is operating in our future, but to experience the powerful presence of God, it requires us being present right now to make the most of the opportunity. You can't make the most of the opportunity tomorrow. You can't make the most of the opportunity yesterday. You can only do that right here. And so we have to recognize, hey, where am I getting distracted? Where am I being led astray, or my mind being led somewhere else? I love this quote. I heard it through John Mark Comer, but it's originally through a different author. And he says, the devil can't make you sin, but he can make you busy, right? If we are in our day-to-day life so busy, you know how I know you're busy? It's because you're from New Jersey, okay? I spent some time in Orlando and then Oklahoma recently, and I just like, what are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Like, the light is green 3 seconds ago. I was in Florida. I beat my horn at a car that had not turned yet. I was like, oh man, Jesus would have beat his horn. But it's because we're so busy. We got so much going on. And that's often how Satan distracts us from living right here in the moment and seeing God's powerful presence working in our life. It requires that we be present. When you're present and you slow down just enough to look around to see what is around you and what God is doing, Acts 17 comes to life where he says that he's determined the times and places for every single person. When you're living in the presence, you look around at the people around you and you get curious of, wow, God's been working on you since before you were in the womb. What's your story? Like, let me hear what's going on in your life, right? When you practice presence, when you leave room for margin, God bless Larry Craig. I mean, you got a meeting at 10 o'clock, he's there at 9:30, like leaving room for margin. Now, to the parents with young kids, I see the Almazes on here. I get it. Leaving margin is very difficult. But in our lives, we need to figure out ways to not be boom, 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 one thing to the other, but instead creating space, breathing room for our souls to let our souls catch back up to our bodies. Here's a question I encourage you to journal on as we come in for a landing. Journal on this week. Maybe take a photo of this slide. But the question is, what would it look like for you to be an unhurried, present person? What might others notice about you, right? What would it look like for you to be an unhurried, present person? What's so cool is that as God's beautiful, powerful, invisible qualities are all around us, there are moments that He peeks through. There are certainly moments where the invisible becomes visible, and we need to be acutely aware of the invisible things around us. I want to close out here in prayer, but I want to encourage us this week to protect our faith, to fight for our faith, to recognize, hey, there's a lot of logical things, there's a lot of logical arguments for why we should do and should not do certain things. There's a lot of tangible things around us that we can touch and taste and hold on to. But we cannot forget the reality that there is an invisible realm all around us working powerfully to develop us. We cannot close our eyes, our ears, or our mind to the frequency that we have a God who is on our side, who is always with us, who is prepared and excited to work powerfully through us when we sacrifice and give, and who calls us to live right here, right now, because that's where he is with us. Let's pray together as we close out. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being with us. I kind of want to thank you for not revealing yourself at all times and always. There's this weird tension that we face of having to believe in things that we can't immediately see. But God, you love the tension. You allow us to live in that tension. And without that faith, it's impossible to please you. We pray that you increase our faith. We pray that you help us be more in tune with who you are, with what you are doing. Help us slow down enough so that we can be mindful of the ways you may be working with us right here, right now. God, I'm so grateful for the Garden State Church and the family that you've sort of spiritual family that you've surrounded us with. I pray for those who are struggling and mourning, that you comfort them and that you use one another to comfort each other. God, I pray for those who are celebrating, for the many of us who will be celebrating the Eagles win tonight. God, thank you so much for the family we have to celebrate alongside one another. We love you so much, Father. In your son's name we pray. Amen.